Chapter 17. Successful Plan. Brooke sent Platinum into the Light Shard's reality as a reward for completing their tasks of finding a resolution for Boggs. Brooke ordered the deities of the lower realms to create a world in which would mimic what Platinum went through in their first life. Brooke spoke with the ambassador of reality within the 11th world.
Tell those in the 10th world to do their jobs, probably.
This reality sits mostly in silence for eons before they reset it.
When there are no longer any conscious mortals, then I want them to reset reality and watch it again. I don't care how bored they feel this cycle is.
Brooke commanded the ambassadors. Ushu Gaia obeyed Brooke's request and immediately went down to the Supreme Overseers. You dare to command us the Most High.
And you say that you are ordered by an even higher power whom we have never seen?
Had them come here and tell us themselves. One overseer said to Ushu Gaia. Ushu Gaia sealed the Supreme Overseer. To nothingness you shall return, for you are of no use. Ushu Gaia said to the Supreme Overseer, then erased their existence.
Ushu Gaia then reset time and space and made all memories of that Supreme Overseer disappear.
The other overseers, without knowing what had happened, obeyed the request of Ushu Gaia. Reality eventually continued to the point to allow Platinum to return to the time when they had their family. Thomas Rivers once again married Susan Rivers and had two children named Thomas and Patricia. Brooke watched this in boredom, seeing that Platinum was making no progress towards a godhead. Interesting, so repeating a lifetime actually doesn't contribute anything. Only new experiences would give you any meaningful growth. I wonder how far it would need to deviate for there to be growth.
Brooke pondered. I shouldn't test it with this life since this is a reward for Platinum.
Any training Brooke could do in this reality would be pointless, and researching Bog would be pointless as well, since the physics of this reality do not match up perfectly with the ones from the original reality. Brooke would just come to an incorrect answer. Ventusor appeared inside of the Light Shard reality. How's Platinum's growth towards a godhead doing?
Ventusor asked Brooke.
No progress at all.
Since this is a lifetime, they have already experienced.
Brooke responded to Ventusor. Why did you do that?
Ventusor asked Brooke.
This is a reward for Platinum for finding a solution, a temporary solution for Boggs.
Which is a condition that is spreading in my area.
Brooke said to Ventusor.
I know that.
How are people's attitudes towards a cure coming from you? Are you going to force it on them?
Ventusor asked Brooke.
I think I would need to. Bog has the same corrupting effect as a shadow shard. So leaving it be could threaten all the lower level Ren now on the planet. Brooke said to Ventusor. I will let you handle it the way you want to.
If there is no resolution, we could always just seal them from leaving SARU in order to protect the rest of Ren now. Until they become smart enough to realize that the risk they pose to everyone else outweighs their traditions.
Ventus said to Brooke. You don't have to worry.
I will force it on them even if they decline. I can't stand weaklings thinking they control anything.
Brooke said to Ventusor. Ventusor simply agreed with Brooke.
Want to go to an empty world with me and live a life of just training and building? Ventusor asked Brooke. Brooke lit up in excitement. But none of that progress we make here would help us back home.
Brooke said to Ventusor.
We will be here for much longer than our current lifespans when we leave, and it becomes meaningless. The same could be said when we expire back home.
The only thing that truly matters is our own growth. Ventus said to Brooke. I would love to train as an avatar from nothing.
Let's do it.
Brooke said with a big smile.
Platinum in your case is just repeating their old life, and I have already set a course for Sue, so we are completely free. Ventus said to Brooke. Brooke and Ventusor then appeared on a world that had not developed life outside of microorganism.
The world was warm and the waters were clear throughout. This looks like a perfect place to train. Brooke said, looking around.
Agreed.
Ventusor nodded.
The two then reset their avatars. The avatars were the much younger versions of themselves and had external abilities. All they had were the knowledge that they were avatars of gods. These two avatars trained on this empty world over and over. with the singular feeling that their only purpose in life was to train and be with each other. Eventually, the life of Platinum ended, and they waited to be sent to another world by the deities of order in the fifth world.
Brook's avatar then stopped training with Ventusor's avatar.
Aw, looks like I have to return. Brook's avatar said to Ventusor,
"We both knew that this would eventually happen."
Ventusor's avatar said to Brooks,
"I know when we go back, it will be back to business for us."
"Both, I truly enjoyed every bit of this. I know this isn't the end, but I can't help but feel a bit melancholic about it."
Brooks' avatar said to Ventusor's,
"I feel the same way. If we got to train like this while in the abandoned shard shaft when we first met, I could only imagine it would have been as fun as this."
Ventusor's avatar responded. Brook's avatar smiled and then vanished.
Brook met up with Thomas Rivers.
"My Lord Heavenly Father."
Thomas kneeled when he saw Brook. Brook shook her head in disapproval.
"I knew you wouldn't achieve a godhead, and yet I am still disappointed."
Brook then sent Platinum back to their original reality.
"Wait, where am I?"
Platinum said after appearing back on SARU.
"It is always the same reaction, isn't it?"
Brook said to herself. "You are back in Mako Platinum.
Hurry up and reorientate yourself, so you can go back to your place and I can handle what I need to do."
Brook said to Platinum, "Wasn't I just in heaven?"
"If I am alive, where is my wife?"
"And my children?"
Platinum asked Brook.
"You didn't go into the Light Shard's reality in pursuit of a godhead, so I am not going to debrief you. So any lingering confusion you have requested of yourself, knowing this is how you would react.
I'm going to leave." Brook said to Platinum, grabbing the bag of clear shard. Platinum sat on the floor, still confused. Platinum looked around.
"I haven't been in this room in decades. I have faint memories of being here.
But which one is the real me?"
Platinum looked down at their body.
"Oh, I remember a person named Gillum. They are supposed to be able to allow me to return to my family anytime I want. So I guess this is more of a dream."
Platinum thought to themselves. Platinum then stood up.
"I don't remember what I needed to do next to help them."
Platinum tried to recall.
Platinum went into their pocket and felt a shard.
A clear shard.
I guess it had something to do with this.
"I will just hand it to them since I don't remember why I took it in the first place." Platinum continued to think.
Platinum exited the room and then jumped into the sky. Platinum flew to Gillum's lab.
"How is it coming along?"
Platinum asked Gillum. "You just left one cycle ago. That is not enough time for any noticeable progress."
Gillum said to Platinum as they continued building.
"So this device is supposed to return me to my family?" Platinum asked Gillum.
"What?"
Gillum was confused by Platinum's question.
"My family?" Platinum said again.
"I know, but I don't understand what your question means."
"Why would you want to return to your family? What significance does that have?"
Gillum had so many questions based on Platinum's question. "My apologies. I don't know why I said it like that. Would this device be able to replicate the reality technique I showed you?" Platinum rephrased.
"It'll recreate the technique's structure, and with the appropriate amount of energy should be able to open up a gap to that reality."
Gillum responded to Platinum.
"Perfect. And is there any way to control the destination?"
Platinum asked Gillum.
"Aren't you one for questions today?"
"And no, we cannot control the destination, since we don't have access to the interior of that reality before opening it."
"But I don't know what happens inside, but you do. So I figured you would know better than I do."
Gillum said to Platinum.
"Yes, I know how it works."
Platinum said to Gillum. "Now the only issue we will have is energy input."
Gillum began to say before Platinum interrupted them.
"I have this."
Platinum showed Gillum the clear shard.
"What is this?" Gillum asked, grabbing the clear shard from Platinum.
The remaining shadow shard corruption from Gillum started to be absorbed by the clear shard. Gillum immediately threw down the shard.
"What was that?"
"It started draining me," Gillum said to Platinum. Platinum picked up the clear shard.
"I guess that does make sense. You did infuse the shadow shard into yourself in pursuit of more energy. So remnants would definitely be in your base form. I'm surprised it doesn't have as much effect on you as it does for the Yurizu people. Platinum said to Gillum,
"You're saying that shard is able to drain the shadow shard corruption?"
"That's not possible,"
Gillum said to Platinum. "Master Axel created it. Go on and extract all of the shadow shard's corruption from your body."
Platinum handed the clear shard back to Gillum.
Gillum grabbed the clear shard, and the clear shard began to absorb the corruption from Gillum. Gillum waited until there was no longer a draining effect on their body. Gillum felt their form. "The tension is gone," Gillum said to Platinum.
"Really?"
Platinum asked. "If this was the reward you were to give me, I would have accepted this. You could probably get Yiro to assist you in your goal by draining the Shadow Shard's corruption from their body as well," Gillum suggested to Platinum.
"What would Yiro be able to do for me?"
Platinum asked. Gillum then looked at the clear shard. "If nothing else, it seems absorbing more corruption would make the clear shard into a shadow shard, and I would be able to pull energy from the shadow shard to power the device," Gillum said to Platinum.
"Now that actually makes it worth contacting Yiro," Platinum responded. "Actually, I would be able to go to SARU and quickly go through absorbing corruption from them. Then I could infect someone else to create a constant source of energy,"
Platinum thought.
"I'll contact Yiro and tell them to come here,"
Gillum said to Platinum.
"You do that.
I am going to gather more energy,"
Platinum responded to Gillum. "Wait, how?"
Gillum asked, but Platinum was already gone.
Back on SARU, Brook and the Spear made an announcement to the individuals standing outside of the headquarters opposing Brook's control. "I don't care about what you all are trying to get me to understand. I know you have members of your communities burdened by the ailment called Bog. I have the cure for you. Bring me those who have already succumbed so that I can revive them," Brook said to those standing outside.
"No. We can deal with it ourselves.
We want Kathy back in power," a member of the crowd yelled.
Brook then shot the person with a Phoenix Beam technique.
"I have the cure for your Bogs. I didn't think that I would have to say it again, but you all are rather dense."
The others in the crowd looked at the spot where Brook eliminated one of the members.
"Why did you do that?"
"It's going to take them a full cycle to reform," another member yelled out.
Brook then shot them too. "It's really not my fault. You all didn't train your shells,"
Brook smirked.
"Now bring me those who are afflicted with Bogs."
"Do it yourself," another member yelled out.
"You all are so annoying,"
Brook said to the crowd. Brook then appeared down by the crowd.
"So what was your objective?
Are you intending to use force to have me vacate the area?
Or were you hoping that your pathetic pleas were going to have any effect on me?"
Brook questioned the crowd.
"Just leave.
Go back to Mako. This region is for Kai,"
a crowd member yelled out. "Do you want me to deal with them?"
the spear called out. Brook gave a negative to the spear.
"Okay, this is a challenge that I must learn to deal with,"
Brook thought to herself. "What is it that you want?
Maybe we could come to a compromise,"
Brook said to the crowd.
"We want you to leave," a member of the crowd yelled.
"I'm obviously not going to listen to that idiotic request. Make another demand,"
Brook responded.
"That's all we want."
"We want you gone," the crowd said to Brook. Brook grew increasingly annoyed at them.
"This area is under the domain of Mako. You are free to leave. I'm not even going to throw you out,"
Brook suggested to the crowd. "Who are you protecting? What are you giving us? Why should we want you here?" the crowd asked Brook.
"I am providing zeta joules of energy to this area each day."
"How do you not realize that?"
Brook asked the crowd.
"What does that even mean?"
a crowd member questioned Brook. "On Earth."
Brook was dumbfounded.
"There is no way. You all are this uneducated,"
Brook said to the crowd. Brook then created an energy tower. Brook then placed her hand on it and absorbed some of the power into her first shell.
See, it's just that easy. It's like a shard. You don't need to find.
The crowd looked at the tower.
What is this going to do for us?
The crowd asked. We already have plenty of shards and other energy generation methods. This is pointless. That's because you all are single-shelled children.
If you were above the fourth shell, I dare say even the third, you would be able to use these towers to refill your shell and create anything.
Brooke explained.
The crowd realized that they had seen these towers all over SARU, but did not bother to discover what their purpose was and instead made up reasons for their existence. One member from the crowd stepped out.
Fine, we will give you the benefit of the doubt. Not that we completely believe your statements.
You said that you could cure Bog? That member asked Brooke.
Yes, bring me whoever it is that is facing that ailment. Brooke told the crowd member.
The crowd remained as another person drove off to collect the ill person. Brooke turned her attention to the crowd.
While we are waiting for your colleague to take forever collecting that person, I figure it is time for me to lay out what things SARU offers that Yurizu does not. The crowd were still displeased with Brooke, but she did not care. First off, as I said before, I provide zeta joules of energy to this region daily.
Second, you have complete access to the school's organization and other amenities that Mako provides. Third, you are allowed to challenge for the leadership position with the caveat that you are able to demonstrate your capability against a master. In your case, I am your area master. Fourth, reproduction is handled directly by the area organization, which means you do not need to provide it yourself. And in our infant vassals, the child would come out with at least a second shell in their possession, and in the schools, they will learn to gain a third. Fifth, I can create new cities in about a cycle.
Honestly, the list keeps on going.
Brooke listed out to the crowd.
What about our taxes?
Will you lower them?
The crowd asked.
What even is that?
Brooke asked the crowd. The amount you take from our production.
The crowd said to Brooke. Why would I do that?
I gave you the energy in the first place.
Brooke felt the annoyance return. That question made me feel a bit less intelligent.
I wish I did not hear you explain that to me.
Brooke said to the crowd. After a few moments, the crowd member returned with the person who was suffering from bogs. The person was in a sphere and was unable to reform.
Here they are now proved to us that we can believe anything you say.
The crowd said to Brooke. Brooke brought out the clear shard. She placed it on the sphere, and the shard slowly became darker.
How long does this take?
The crowd asked. After how long you made me wait, you think you're in a position to rush me? Brooke responded. It was just a question. The crowd member stepped back. Soon the sphere vanished and the clear shard fell on the ground.
And now we wait for them to reform.
Brooke said to the crowd.
The crowd nodded. I guess after the amount of times I vaporized them, they are very knowledgeable in the process of reforming.
Brooke thought. After waiting a little longer, the person began to become visible to the naked eye. And soon they popped completely into existence. The crowd rushed to the person.
How are you feeling?
A member of the crowd asked.
The person who just re-emerged looked at their body.
It's over?
The pain is over. The person said to the crowd.
Are you sure?
Is it not just back to its initial state?
A member of the crowd asked.
No, it is truly gone.
My energy is no longer being leached from me. I feel no effort in maintaining my form. The person said to the crowd. The crowd nodded their heads, pleased by this result.
Now bring me those who are afflicted with bog. Brooke said to the crowd. They dispersed and went out to collect people. Platinum entered SARU. Platinum was able to feel that Brooke was aware of their presence, but as long as Platinum doesn't do anything suspicious, then they are in the clear. Platinum entered a town in SARU and posed as a form scientist.
Platinum then spoke with a random citizen. I hear that there are some people afflicted with bogs. I am a form scientist and I have a remedy. Platinum said to the citizen,
A remedy for bogs? Are you trying to peddle a new stabilizer as a cure?
The citizen asked. Well, yes, this will actually get rid of bog for such a substantial amount of time you would forget you had it. The current stabilizers work for a bit less than a cycle, and even then the afflicted can feel the effects of the ailment. But with my device, it'll be as if they have returned to normal. Platinum said to the citizen.
How much does it cost?
The citizen asked.
It's free.
Platinum paused as to why they would ask how much a cure was.
I suppose there is no harm in trying it out. The citizen gestured for Platinum to follow them.
They brought Platinum to a storage room.
Over there is where the afflicted are quarantined. If you truly have a remedy, then I believe that going into there would not be a problem.
I can bring you to the front.
The citizen said to Platinum.
No, this is close enough.
Thank you.
Platinum said, looking at the building. The citizen then left Platinum alone. Platinum increased their tick rate to 10 ticks and sped through the building to enter the quarantine zone. This is perfect. Not only are these people isolated from everyone else, but I could just rub them immediately on another person to reinfect them. Platinum thought.
Platinum then began draining the corruption from the citizens of SARU.
Brooke and the Spear had cleared the corruption from several dozen individuals, allowing them to reform. The animosity the citizens of SARU had against Mako began to wane.
This is the last person, it seems. Do you have any more that are afflicted with bogs? Brooke asked. If we do, we will bring them to you later.
A member of the crowd said to Brooke.
That's not going to work.
Because bog can be transferred via contact, if we don't get everyone cured, then it'll just spread again. I need to make sure that bog no longer exists in this region. Brooke said to the member of the crowd.
I don't know where more people afflicted with this would be, maybe in one of the smaller towns.
The member of the crowd suggested.
This is annoying because people afflicted with bog don't give off any energy readings, so I can't just mass detect them. I'm going to have to actually go through each town and ask around.
Brooke thought to herself. How about the people in Yurizu? Do you know if they are afflicted with bogs?
Brooke asked. I have a few friends there. I could ask them.
A member of the crowd suggested. But Yurizu isn't going to allow a foreign government body to operate within their borders. The member of the crowd said to Brooke. I'll handle that. Just let me know if there is an epidemic happening there. Brooke said to the member of the crowd. They then went off and got in communication with their friend. Brooke looked at all the shadow shards in her possession. They seemed inert as compared to a natural shadow shard.
But Brooke could not afford to be complacent while handling them.
The member of the crowd returned. Yes, there are some people afflicted with bogs in Yurizu. It's much more widespread, and they have full containment centers as the government looked into stabilization technology. The member of the crowd said to Brooke.
That's good to know, Brooke said.
She then sent everyone away.
And sent a message to Lin.
Lin responded quickly.
Master Brooke.
What can I do for you? Lin asked Brooke. Is anyone in Vesitanis being affected by bog? Brooke asked Lin.
What's bog?
Lin responded. It's a corruption that prevents healing. It's passed via contact. It only affected Ren now, by the way.
Brooke explained to Lin.
No, other than the diseases that occur in the Ren Neo and the other breeds, everything is quite normal. Lin said to Brooke.
You're a native of Yurizu, isn't that correct? Brooke asked Lin.
That's correct, but I am a Mako citizen through and through.
So don't worry about my stance. Lin tried to say so, not to have Brooke look at her with suspicion.
No, I'm not questioning you.
I would like a bit of assistance from you. Can you go to Yurizu with me? I am going to pose as a friend of yours.
You have the records there, so that if we get questioned, you can prove that you were born there.
And that should eliminate their suspicions that a foreign entity is operating within their borders. Brooke said to Lin. Why not just force them to allow you to operate? It's not like they could stop you. Lin said to Brooke.
Because I can't detect those with bogs, so if I go in there forcibly, then the chance that they will hide those afflicted would increase. Brooke explained to Lin.
Very well, then I will head down to SARU. I am up in Vesitanis right now, so it's going to take me some time to fly down there.
Lin explained to Brooke.
You don't have a white disc. Brooke asked Lin. I'm not quite at the energy level to be able to use that without major prep. And that prep would probably take longer than actually just flying.
Len explained to Brooke.
Brooke was a bit annoyed but had to accept it.
Fine, it's not like us moving any faster would have a serious impact on the resolution.
Brooke said then cut off communication. During all this time, Platinum was able to absorb and reinfect those within the quarantine building.
Platinum left the building with a nearly filled clear shard. Time and head back and extract the energy from this.
Platinum thought as they placed down a white circle and arrived back at Gillum's lab.
Platinum threw the shard to Gillum. There, use that.
It should have enough energy for our task.
Platinum said to Gillum.
Gillum looked at the now nearly black clear shard.
Looks like you've been busy.
Gillum said to Platinum. There were a lot of subjects to use it on.
Platinum responded to Gillum.
Yiro then came from around the corner.
So that is the clear shard.
Yiro observed. Yes, it was created by Master Axel to remove corruption caused by bogs, or in the more general case, corruption from the Shadow Shard.
Platinum explained to Yiro.
Gylum said that it could remove the remaining corruption within me caused by the Shadow Shard. Can you confirm that?
Yiro asked Platinum.
Platinum gestured for Gylum to toss the shard to Yiro.
Yiro caught it and immediately felt the corruption within their core begin to clear.
Platinum and Gillum watched as the clear shard grew darker and darker.
After some time, Yiro handed the shard back to Platinum.
I feel like a whole new person. Thank you for that.
Yiro said to Platinum.
You should be thanking Master Axel. I didn't create the shard.
Platinum responded to Yiro. To have my livelihood changed once again by Master Axel, it seems it'll never end, I suppose.
Yiro said to themself. I feel that I could return to the fifth shell now. Yiro said to Gillum. That is an understatement. I know the seventh shell is well within your grasp.
Gillum flattered Yiro.
So what is it you're building? I could assist if need be.
Yiro said to Platinum.
No, it's fine. This is a task for the scientist. You have contributed enough by giving us your corruption. Platinum said to Yiro. If that's the case, then I will be taking my leave. Yiro said, leaving the room. How far along are you?
Platinum asked Gillum. We are at the point where we could run our prototype test. Maybe open a reality technique a few centimeters wide.
Gillum said to Platinum. Let's see it run.
Platinum commanded Gillum.
Gillum extracted the corruption from the clear shard by using the same method they used when extracting it from the shadow shard. The machine spun wildly in an attempt to mimic the reality technique. Soon, a tiny portal formed into the other reality.
Platinum looked at it. Looks like it was a success. Platinum said to Gillum, "It's still imperfect. This would only last for a very brief amount of time, and it only serves as a doorway. Anything inside it unaffected." Gillum explained. Platinum tossed a container into the portal and it vanished.
Are we able to see where it went?
Platinum asked Gillum. No, everything past the portal is unknown. But considering it is created using the same method as the reality technique, I can only guess it's the same destination.
Gillum said to Platinum.
Then let's upscale this so that it is the size of Earth.
Platinum said to Gillum,
"Wait, I thought this just something for you. If you make it the size of Earth, then everyone would be consumed."
Gillum said to Platinum,
"Do you not want to be a scientist of Spark?"
Platinum asked Gillum. Gillum was hesitant.
"Of course I want to be a scientist of Spark, but you said you would give that to me if I built the machine, not if I destroy the planet."
"Fine, if you are so resistant, then I guess I will leave it at that."
Platinum said to Gillum. Platinum then started to leave.
"Wait, are you still going to make me a Spark scientist?"
Gillum asked Platinum. Platinum then turned around and sent down one of their deconstruction bots. The tiny machines quickly consumed Gillum's machine.
"Hey, you can't do that.
This is my invention." Gillum called out to Platinum.
"You'll understand when you have a family of your own."
Platinum said to Gillum, "You can't do this to me. I thought we were working fine together." Gillum said to Platinum,
I'll put in a good word for you. But all I really needed from you was your shadow shard extraction technology.
After that, your usefulness sharply decreases.
Platinum said to Gillum,
I knew I shouldn't have trusted you.
This is how you beat me to become a scientist of Spark in the first place.
Gillum accused Platinum. Don't flatter yourself.
You weren't going to make it to begin with. Platinum said to Gillum.
Yiro then stormed in and attacked Platinum. Platinum blocked the strike and looked at Yiro.
Master Ventusor taught me that the strong must defend the weak. What you are doing is bullying. I cannot allow that.
Yiro said to Platinum.
And what are you supposed to be?
The strong?
Platinum said, tossing Yiro off.
Veil of Darkness. Yiro used a technique to block all incoming electromagnetic light from entering the veil.
It was completely cut off.
Platinum sent down their machines and lit up the interior and found Yiro immediately.
Go, Lepanis, attack Yiro.
Lepanis was a sphere machine designed to tear through forms and extract energy once it made contact.
Veil of Darkness is only effective against opponents who absorb energy for their shells. I use machines, so your veil does nothing to me.
Platinum said to Yiro. Yiro quickly realized that this technique that is generally effective against those who are in the fifth shell and above did absolutely nothing to Platinum.
But the technique had already drained a good amount of energy.
Yiro needed to dodge Lepanis and could not focus on what Platinum was doing next. Platinum constructed more Lepanis and sent them to Yiro. Yiro's veil of darkness fell as they could no longer maintain that technique. Gillum watched as Yiro was struggling against Platinum.
I'll support you.
Gillum said, sending out the synthetic humans to assist Yiro.
The synthetic humans immediately went to Platinum.
As if a machine could do anything to me.
Platinum observed the synthetic humans and broke down what made them operate.
Spark of the Phoenix.
Platinum used the Spark of the Phoenix technique, which was a small but ultra-precise phoenix attack. The Spark of the Phoenix burned through the interior component of the synthetic human, causing them to collapse.
Yiro finally succumbed to the pressure that the Lepanis were putting on them.
Now that we have established who is truly the powerful in this group, I will be taking my leave.
You can inform Master Tesh, or anyone you're able to, but by then, it'll be too late. Platinum said to the two.
Then I will contact Master Ventusor directly.
Yiro said to Platinum.
Platinum felt a short bit of panic. Platinum immediately sealed Yiro and Gillum.
On second thought, it's probably better to store you both away for the time being. Platinum said. Platinum then used Gillum's lab for the development of the Reality Machine 2.0.
Brooke waited on Lin to arrive.
There were finally no protesters outside, which was weird.
The spear wandered around aimlessly.
Congratulations on resolving the protesters' grievances, Master.
The spear said to Brooke.
That's not even worth mentioning.
Brooke responded. Brooke observed the clear shards.
She wanted to know how it worked and why it couldn't be detected. Maybe it's some sort of crystallized remnant of another reality.
Brooke speculated. Mind if I have a look?
The spear asked Brooke. Brooke tossed the clear shard to the spear.
The spear observed it. It seems similarly constructed as my power core. The spear said to Brooke. Brooke looked down at the spear.
I suppose you were created by Eric Cargo more than 1,000 complete cycles ago.
Which is near the time the being who eventually became Ren Now vanished.
So it wouldn't be too far off to say that the spear might have a similar composition that the being.
Brooke thought to herself.
Let me see your core. Brooke asked the spear.
The spear was a bit hesitant, only because it is you, Master.
The spear said, opening up the hundreds of protections that surrounded her core.
Interesting.
So your original creator must have been messing with portals, I suppose, in an attempt to protect your core from attack. But now, since I am able to use reality techniques, your core may as well be dust.
Brooke said to the spear. The spear then closed her core.
Did you have any breakthroughs? The spear asked Brooke. I'm now a bit curious. I wonder what would happen if I sent you to that other reality. What would your core do?
Brooks said to the spear, I must plead that you won't do that. The spear said to Brooke, No need to worry.
I won't do that to you. I would create another you and send that into the other reality if I wanted to.
Brooke said to the spear, So if the clear shard has a similar composition to your core, and the shadow shard's corruption can be altered by the clear shard, then I wonder why when you touched Boggs, nothing happened. Brooke pondered with the spear. The spear stood silently.
My best guess would be that your core isn't designed to absorb. The clear shard must be like a sponge, and the corruption like a liquid while you are like a rock.
Brooke said to the spear.
I agree that is probably the case. The spear responded.
Platinum in this time had finished constructing the machine and placed the clear shard along with dozens of other shards into the energy port. Having everyone on the planet experience what it is like to have a family lose them, having the means to return to them be restricted from you, would surely have those guides reevaluate the elitist mindset they have.
The pressure from the entire world pleading to return would even make the heartless change.
Platinum thought as the machines finished charging. I only have one chance at this, so here goes everything.
Platinum then activated the machine and a portal quickly grew from the base.
Ventusir immediately felt as a mass of energy vanished from Mako. Something is happening quickly, Akwar. Ventusir said as the both of them vanished and appeared in Gillum's lab. The machine along with Platinum had already been sent through the portal, and there was no way to access the energy the portal was consuming.
It's growing, Akwar called out.
We can't do anything about that. All we can do is try and make sure that everything that gets sent through is covered.
Ventusir said to Akwar, Only focus on those things that are classified as life.
Got it.
Akwar said as she vanished and used one-world humans to envelop the creatures of the planet one by one. Axel, there is a reality technique that is going to consume the planet. Can I ask that you maintain an exact replica of the planet for us all to return to once this is done?
Ventusir asked Axel. That'll be no problem. I'll just put it down as something you owe me. Axel jokes.
Sure, I will owe you a planet.
Ventusir laughed.
Ventusir then ended communication with Axel. I will handle all the human breeds and other post-industrial life. Ventusir said performing the one-world human to safeguard life. The portal continued to grow and grow, eventually consuming the planet.
Eventually, everyone was sent into that other reality.
Ventusir, Akwar, Wiku, Master Orsona, and Master Vixel appeared at the beginning of the reality.
What happened? Muiku asked Ventusir.
Platinum did a mass reality technique and sent the entire planet into this reality.
Ventusir responded to Muiku.
So what happens to the planet?
Where is it?
Brooke asked Ventusir. It's somewhere at some time in this reality.
I don't actually know.
But what we would need to focus on is sending all the life that was taken from Earth and returning them to the backup that Axel constructed for me. Ventusir said to the Godheads, What is the total on that? Master Orsona asked.
Well, I covered about 3 quadrillion separate life forms before coming into here, so they'll have a form to return to when we pull them out.
Akwar said to the Godheads,
And I covered 400 billion post-industrial life. The Wren now will naturally be able to reform when we pull them out, so there was no need to cover them. Ventusir added,
What about machines?
Brooke asked, hinting at beings like the spear. I also covered them since my definition of life is much broader than many of yours.
Ventus said to Brooke, So how should we start?
Muiku asked Ventusir, Look for any beings that have another coding of existence on them. Or in easier terms, a default of 100 trillion eon energy. Ventusir said to the group, We could probably command the gods of this reality to also search.
Brooke suggested. Those guys are so slow, though. Akwar responded.
Do you want to search through the entire existence over all of eternity in search of just 3.004 quadrillion beings?
Brooke said to Akwar.
Since we are in this reality, we have no limit to what we could do.
Having several omnipotent beings in the same area is redundant and a waste of time.
You younger ones should split yourself into near-infinite pieces and search for them that way. I am going to return to the base reality and monitor any ill effects.
Master Vixal said to the group. Master Vixal then immediately left.
I'll side with my parent on this one. We aren't teaching anyone or serving as a guide, so my expertise would not be utilized, nor would my power.
Therefore, I too shall leave.
Master Orsona said, leaving reality.
Ventusir, Brook, Akwar, and Muiku looked at one another.
You are the next oldest, Muiku.
Are you going to leave as well?
Ventusir joked with Muiku. Nah, unlike everyone else, I actually don't have much practice with overwhelming power, so I would like to practice it while given this opportunity.
Muiku responded. When we begin our search, every person would probably begin as a mixture of energy. In the dense collection of energy there.
Ventusir pointed at the source of energy for the incoming universe.
That seems unnecessarily tedious to pluck each being out of that.
Brook said, looking at the collection. We can wait.
And have the universe settle a bit more?
We will have to cover more distance, but it'll be less tedious than trying to detangle everyone.
Ventusir mentioned, I can begin the tedious task. Then when I get bored, we can search for the remaining beings.
Muiku stepped up for the mission. Are you sure you want to do that?
It's going to be a lot. Ventusir asked Muiku.
No problem.
This will probably help with my precision anyways. Muiku responded. Muiku then entered the collection of energy.
So we can just move on to another time, right? Akwar asked. Yes, let's search out the remaining beings. Ventusir agreed, and the three traveled to a time further in the future. Ventusir appeared in front of a hunter. This hunter was dressed in animal fur and was making their way back to their shelter.
Oh, you're a plant in our reality. That's interesting.
Ventusir thought, looking at the hunter. Ventusir then vaporized them and sent them back to the base reality. Akwar found a man receiving a promotion for military accomplishments.
Yep, you are not from this reality.
Akwar thought. She then eliminated that soldier and sent him back to the base reality. Brook found a scientist about to make a breakthrough discovery in their room during the Age of Enlightenment of their civilization.
Time to send you back.
Brook said before obliterating the scientist and sending them back to the base reality. Brook, Ventusir, and Akwar continued this for the lives that were caught up in Platinum's technique. Muiku released several million beings over the hundreds of years they worked on the task. Muiku took a short break to observe the universe that was being developed around. Muiku then continued their task. With each release, Ventusir, Akwar, and Brook learned more about how this reality dictated where people from the outside went. Based on the eon level, beings get moved into certain levels of consciousness of life. And because coming from another reality automatically granted a higher eon level, it was safe to assume that not a single being, not even a microbe, would have been moved to anything lower than a semi-intelligent being.